ID, The Future, a podcast about evolution and intelligent design.
Hello, I'm Tom Gilson. Today I want to talk with you about a way to have productive, helpful conversations with skeptical friends, colleagues, and family members about intelligent design. Have you ever had this happen where you're in a conversation with a friend or a colleague or a family member and the topic of intelligent design comes up? You say you think it makes a lot of sense and the other person just sniffs and says, "Seriously? You believe in that?" Pretty uncomfortable, isn't it? Your mind's in a jumble, you're on the defensive, you've got everything you've ever heard about ID just tumbling around in your brain, and you have no idea where to start. I hate that feeling. Well, believe it or not, there's an answer, a set of answers, that you can use that are almost certain to get you on the right track just about every time you have this kind of a conversation. It's a set of questions that you can use in almost any ID-related situation to guide your conversation toward a productive end. Now, before I go there, though, let's just pause and think through what's going on there in the situation. More often than not, the other person thinks they're standing on the intellectual high ground, and you feel like you're on the defensive. They've just implied that you're kind of crazy, and now you've got to justify your belief in something that they think is crazy. Right? Wrong. Wrong on all counts except maybe the first. They probably do think they're standing on a high ground. And you may feel like you're on the defensive, but the fact is you don't need to. And you certainly don't need to justify your belief in what they think is crazy. What I'm about to share here is mostly for laypersons talking with laypersons who have a low view of ID. It's bound to go differently than this if you're a scientist working in an ID-related field, and especially if you're talking with another scientist, another specialist. So how do you answer? Well, honestly, if I've got some confidence that they're going to take it with a sense of humor, I might turn their challenge right back around at them. They've said, "Seriously? You believe in that?" I'll answer, "Seriously? You don't?" Well, you can see I'm not keen on staying on the defensive, but no, I'll only do that if I'm pretty sure they're going to take it the right way. I'm not going on the offensive. Going on the offensive is offensive. What we want to accomplish in a conversation, we shouldn't expect to turn a skeptic around and just make them a believer in ID through one conversation. Maybe make them a little more sympathetic to it. That would be great. My more realistic goal, though, is to lead them to disbelieve their skepticism, to doubt their doubts. If I can get them that far, maybe they'll decide to go even further, and who knows where they'll end up then. But it has to start by getting them to doubt their doubts. Well, I don't want to keep you waiting any longer. Here is my near-universal response, the one thing you can almost always say to get off the defensive without turning offensive. You ask them a question, and you ask them this one in particular. Ask them, "Could you tell me, please, what intelligent design theory is about as you understand it? What is ID as you understand it?" I don't know how they're going to answer exactly, but I can almost guarantee it's going to be wrong. Almost no one who objects to ID knows what ID really is. The world is littered with misconceptions that ID is about the God of the gaps, or that it's some simplistic belief that the world is so complex it just couldn't be the result of chance, and we just leave it at that. Some people even think it's a dishonest political ploy to put the Bible back in classrooms. But no, none of that has anything to do with ID. But the misconceptions are everywhere. They're rampant. So what do you do? There's still a simple way to proceed. Maybe they said ID is a simplistic belief that the world is too complex to be the result of chance, and that's all it is. Here's my answer. It starts with a statement, but it leads to another question. The statement begins this way. So, You think that's really weak thinking, really weak theorizing, and no rational, well-informed person ought to go along with it, right? Well, let me set your mind at ease. I agree. I totally agree. That kind of thinking would indeed be very weak if anyone were doing it. I don't. ID doesn't. So I have to wonder, what is it that led you to believe that this was what ID theory was about? That's the question. What led you to believe that this was what ID theory was about? Now, leading up to the question, I said a couple other things that have some good functions. It'll put you on their side of the table. You've agreed with them. Being on the same side of the table together is good persuasive strategy, not because it's manipulative, but because it's true, and also because you're being human with them. And yet it's also likely to come as rather a surprise. They thought they held the superior intellectual position, and people don't like being knocked off that high ground. You want to let them down gently. That's why we ask the question, which again was, tell me please, where was it that you learned that this was what intelligent design was about? Now, I said earlier, my suggestions here were strictly for laypersons, but the fact is, up to this point, they could be the right kind of questions to ask anyone, no matter who you are and no matter who they are. They're both versions of questions that you can find in Gregory Kokel's excellent book, Tactics. He points in there that you can almost always advance a conversation, even when you disagree with each other, by asking first, what do you mean by that? And then, what led you to that conclusion? Two questions. What do you mean by that? And what led you to that conclusion? And you can see that the questions I've suggested so far are just versions of that. When you think of intelligent design, what does it mean to you? And what was it that led you to that conclusion about ID? Now, the great thing about questions, Kokel says, is that they put you in the driver's seat where you can steer the conversation's direction, but again, without putting you in a kind of an offensive, off-putting sort of a mode with people. Another great thing with questions is that you'll find out what the two of you are really talking about. That is, when you say ID, you're thinking one thing, but when the other person says ID, they're probably thinking something completely different. You're never going to come to agreement in a conversation when you're not even talking about the same thing. This puts you in a common ground so you can talk about the same thing. You're not there yet, but it moves you that direction. And the third benefit is that it gives you a way to remain on the same side of the table with the other person, because everyone wants to be rational. They thought that being rational meant that they had to disbelieve in ID. Well, you've already started easing them out of that misconception just by letting them know that ID isn't as irrational as they thought it was, because ID isn't what they thought it was. So now maybe you've asked these two questions. You know what they think ID is and where they got it from. So maybe you think it's time to start explaining the truth. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. You got to read the situation. You got to read the person. And if it's time to say it, you can. You can tell them that intelligent design theory proposes that the natural world displays features that are best explained by reference to a designing intelligence. That's it. That's the standard one-sentence answer. Again, ID theory proposes that the natural world displays features that are best explained by reference to a designing intelligence. You could go further. You could add that the science in ID is nothing more, but also nothing less, than taking a very deep dive into nature and finding those signs of information and foresight that are indicators of intelligence, finding them at every conceivable level, from the molecular all the way up to the cosmological. That's ID, in a nutshell. You could tell them that, but do you? Probably not yet. You want to be sure the other person is ready to hear it. So I've got one more question to suggest to you. Just one. It does take a short lead up to get there, but the question at the end of this is still the key. Here's the lead up. Here's a question. It goes like this. There's a lot of different opinions out there on ID. Some of them come from people who are highly opposed to it. And you can imagine that because they're biased, they might get it wrong. Some of these different opinions come from people who listen mostly to these antagonists. They're probably not going to get it right either. Some of them actually come, and I've seen a lot of this, some of them come from careless science journalists who just don't go straight to the source. So, for one thing, let me just say what that means is that even though I would say your view of ID is inaccurate, I can at least see how you came by it. You came by it honestly by listening to some of the usual sources. So, let me ask you one more question. Pretend you were writing an article about ID, an article explaining what ID theory was all about. Where do you think you would want to go to find out what ID is about? Who would you want to ask? That's the question. Who would you ask? By now, hopefully the light will start turning on. They won't believe in ID yet. How could they? You haven't explained a word of it. But maybe, just maybe, they'll be ready to listen with open ears. They'll see that you need to go to the source in order to know what the source says. From there, you can direct them to resources on ID, maybe from the Discovery Institute's store at discovery.org/store, maybe to this podcast at idthefuture.com. But that's it. That's how you can get from that first moment of the tumbling questions and answers in your mind and that feeling of defensiveness and that sense of where do we go from here, just ask these three questions, and I'm going to review them for you. You'll see how easy it could be for you to guide a conversation this way. First question, what is ID theory about as you understand it? That's it. Second question, from where did you get that information? Again, that's it. Third question, there's a lot of misinformation out there, so where do you think you would want to go if you wanted to find out what ID theory really was about? That's kind of a script. And so that means it comes with all the dangers of a script, especially the one biggest one, which is that real-world conversations don't have to follow it. They don't have to follow the script. So I can't predict how it will exactly go for you. I can tell you, though, that asking questions like these will get you off the defensive. It will put you in the driver's seat and do it without putting you on the offensive. You can even stay friends. And if all goes well, the person you're talking to will realize that he or she can start exploring ID without having to worry that they're giving up their rationality. They might even realize that going to the source is the only way to be rational about it. It could open the door. That's all I expect of it, but it's plenty. Who knows where they'll take it from there? We've got a whole world of fascinating resources for them to explore here at Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. In fact, right now, Andrew McDermott is going to tell you about the latest one of them.
Does new evidence of cosmic design fascinate you? If so, check out the new book from philosopher of science and best-selling author Stephen Meyer, Return of the God Hypothesis, Three Scientific Discoveries That Reveal the Mind Behind the Universe. The science is airtight, and at the same time it's written so that non-scientists can follow the argument and see the many amazing ways modern physics and cosmology point to a grand designer of life and the universe. Check out the glowing endorsements from Nobel laureate Brian Josephson and others at returnofthegodhypothesis.com. That's returnofthegodhypothesis.com. That site also gives you links to Amazon and other booksellers that are selling the book. Pick up your copy today at returnofthegodhypothesis.com.
So, take leadership in your conversations. Ask these three questions. What is ID theory about as you understand it? From where did you get that information? And where do you think you'd want to go to find out what ID theory really was about? Then guide them to some resources. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. They can find it at IDTheFuture.com or by looking up ID the Future on their favorite podcasting app. We'd appreciate it, too, if you would give this podcast a 5-star rating on your own app of choice, as it really helps us get the word out on what ID really is all about. For ID the Future, I'm Tom Gilson. Thanks for listening.
Visit us at IDTheFuture.com and IntelligentDesign.org. This program is Copyright Discovery Institute and recorded by its Center for Science and Culture.